Right. I'm going to preach about having a Jesus heart today, a healthy heart, a healed heart. According to God, the heart is the center of our existence. It's the center of our emotions. It's the center of our choices. And all through the Bible, our hearts are the place where God has his life in us. Right? Because it's the life is in the blood. Everywhere you look in the Bible, it's about life, the life of God being in the blood. Because you can make that dolly the genetic sheep or whatever, but you can't make blood. God only can put the life in the blood. Without shed blood, without that life upon us, we're not washed. Life is in the blood. And the most place in your body where the blood goes is your heart. So the heart is the center of our being, right? And Jesus had a healthy heart. When Lazarus died and he saw Mary bawling, and I bet you Mary loved him, don't you think? Right? They were doing that kind of thing where Martha goes out and meets him first so she could get the loving on him, and then Mary would go later, and so they wouldn't be jealous of each other. Right? So Mary saw him and he starts bawling. Some people can't even cry because they don't have a healthy heart. We could pick out people right here today. They can't cry. Something bad, something, you know, good, you know, people don't have those right emotions because they don't have a right heart. People haven't cried rightly in 20 years, 30 years, whatever it is. And then when someone sings them a tune like we're doing now, they don't dance. Right? What does the gospel say? We played a happy song for you, you wouldn't dance. We played a sad song, you wouldn't cry because your heart's not right. You're full of so much other stuff, man. Well, our heart, if you think of it this way, I don't know why I never played much baseball, but the Lord keeps giving me baseball metaphors. Your heart is home plate. Why is your heart like home plate? Because you begin at home plate. And the only way to get around and score runs in baseball is to go around the whole thing and get back to home plate. Our salvation begins and ends with our heart. Heaven begins and ends with our heart because God sees into the heart. It doesn't look like men look. He wants us to give our hearts over to him. It's like the computer chip. It's Intel's greatest computer chip. It's not your mind. It's not your body. The world tells us it's your body that's the most important thing. And you go to a college, well, maybe not this one, but you go to a college, they tell you, well, it's your mind that is the most important thing. Maybe not this one yet. Well, I got news for you. Your heart is the most important thing in your life. Because it contains the life of God. Well, Isaiah 29:13, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. God wants your heart. All these holocausts and all these burnt offerings, well, if you don't give your heart with him, he doesn't have you, and he gets sick of it. Right? He wants us to give ourselves over to him totally. And Romans 1:31 talks about people who are heartless. Have you ever met any heartless people? They're so callous and ugly. They've been living with the world, thinking like the world for so long. They've been looking at all this degradation and calling it good. And then they're heartless. They're ruthless. They're faithless. Well, he wants that we have a heart. He wants that we maintain it. He wants that it works. You know, do you have a working heart? Some of us don't have no working hearts. We don't know how to love people. We don't even know what's good. We don't know what's bad, right? Deuteronomy 6:5, Israel, love your God with your whole heart. That's what God's command was to Israel. Love God with your whole heart. And at Luke 10:27, Jesus is asked by a lawyer how to get to heaven. Some of that, that's a contradiction for some of you, right? But I hope to get there. How does a lawyer, he wants to know, how do I get to heaven? And Jesus asks him, what is your summary of the law? How do you look upon the law of the Old Testament? What do you summarize it as? And the lawyer says correctly, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. That's like saying loving him with all your heart, because your soul includes your heart. Your heart is your whole inner person, your inner man, your inner woman, whatever you want to call it. And that's what God wants. Okay. Now, this message is very real to me, and it's real to a lot of people because we don't have a whole heart. We don't have a whole heart. We got a heart that don't hold water. We got a heart that don't hold the Spirit of God. We don't. this is very real. Because if you want to serve God and be, you know, represent Him, you got to have a whole heart. You got to have a restored heart. Man. And what was that movie with Gloria Gaynor? No, what's her name? Somewhere Over the Rainbow Woman, right? Right? We don't say those bad words because we don't believe in them W words, right? But what's the Tin Man? If I only had a heart. Ooh, some of you lost your hearts along the way. You lost it, right? What's that scripture with Paul? He says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. Don't break them, you know? Break the rod, not your children, that kind of idea, because they lose heart, right? Maybe somewhere along the line, you were punished so bad that you just lost heart, man. But don't lose heart. The Lord punishes, the Lord disciplines those He loves. But some people do it all the time, and it gets statistic, and then people lose heart. Some of us, like, we lose heart from the sheer weariness of life. In Hebrews 12:3 said, don't be so weary, man. This is a salvation road. Sometimes single women get so weary that they lose heart. They can't love nothing, man. They can't even love a dog anymore. Right? And some of us have hardened hearts. We have calloused hearts. They're so unfaithful. And how do you get a hardened heart? You get a hardened heart when someone comes to you with a great miracle of God and with great faith, and the miracle's right in front of your face, and you say it can't be. The way you get a hardened heart is to have a small mind and to do your own thinking. Not think with your heart. You just think with what you know. Ephesians 1:18, we need to see with the eyes of our heart. Then we'll experience God. Then we'll know God. But you think we can do it with our own minds? God's going to blow your mind away on the first day that you serve Him, right? He's just going to blow your mind away. And so you need to open up your mind and start thinking with other things besides it, because your mind is not that big. It can contain the beauties, that blessings that God wants to give you, you know. When we say, I won't understand, or I don't want to understand, or I hate those who understand, we're hardening our hearts. Well, we have good company. In Mark 6, Jesus has just fed the 5,000 with 2 loaves and 5 fish, right? He's just walked on the water. He's calmed the sea. He cuts off the wind, and His disciples still don't understand. Why? Mark 6:52 says their hearts were hardened. They didn't see the kingdom of God right before them. They didn't see the Messiah. They didn't see the coming true of all the promises of Isaiah 61, because they were thinking with their own small minds. And when you think with your own small mind, you're going to have an even smaller heart, and you're not going to be able to receive what God wants to give you. Okay. Some of us, that's a heart that's hard. And some of us have divided hearts. Whew, man, we don't know whether we love our spouse or love our mother or father more. Ooh, that one's going to step on some toes. Some of you are married, and most of you aren't. But some of you run around, married people, loving your mother and your father more than you love your spouse. Then don't get married. Don't waste my time coming into church. You have a divided heart. You don't know who you're serving. You know who you're serving, your mother, your spouse, God. It's all divided. Right? Ooh, that's going to be a good message someday. We don't know whether we're serving God or we come into church. Oh, it's all about God, God, God. And then tomorrow we're serving mammon. We're serving the holy money, right? Ooh, we do anything for money, right? You got a divided heart. Some of our hearts are full of deceit and secrets, and we run around with this false piety. Wolves in sheep's clothing. I'm so sick of people who are deceitful in the church. Oh, they make me want to retch. Hearts full of deceit, man. And then they wonder, well, why don't I get no blessings, Father? Because you come in here with a deceitful heart, full of secrets, with your little private agendas. Cut it out. 1 Corinthians 14:25. You know, you don't bear any good fruit because your heart is full of deceit. Well, those are some of the problems with our hearts. But the biggest problem, you know what's coming, is brokenheartedness. Man, brokenheartedness is the biggest problem. And you know, our hearts were made fragile. Everything about us was made fragile on purpose, so God would keep us depending on Him. And I don't know about you, but I can see people get their hearts broken over sometimes we think it's such a small thing, but it isn't small, right? People have broken hearts all over the place. Well, Jesus, the first thing he did in his public ministry in the synagogue in Galilee, Luke 4:18, what did he do? He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." His first words, "Therefore, he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Whew. If you're far off from God, sooner or later you're going to be brokenhearted. So the kingdom came near, Jesus came near, and the first thing he says, "I'm going to heal the brokenhearted." That's what he wants to do so badly. Right? That's why we see so many people in church, out of church. They can't love their God with their whole heart because they don't have a whole heart. This sermon may be too simple for you. They don't have a whole heart because it's broken. If your heart's broken, it's there for a fraction. It's not whole. It's less than whole. So you can't give it all to God. Right? And what else? A heart is like a container, isn't it? It's like something that holds something. Hold me in your heart, Lord. Right? The people we love, we hold them in their heart. But if we have a broken heart, those people just leak out. And how about the Holy Spirit? How many times have you seen people who are all up in the Spirit and then the next day they don't have none of it in them again? Why is that? Because they are brokenhearted. The Spirit just goes right out their broken heart, man. It doesn't matter who broke your heart. It doesn't matter how it happened, when it happened. You know, anything after conception could break our hearts. Anything after conception can ruin our lives. But if that's the way you're going to think, God is not that way. God doesn't care about the little details that made you the way you are, broke your heart. You know, when you go to the doctor, oh, say you fell skiing. I said this morning, what if you broke your heart skiing? No, you don't break your heart skiing. You break your leg skiing, right? If you broke your heart skiing, that would be pretty easy to fix, right? Well, if you break your leg skiing, the doctor puts up the x-ray on the light there, on the wall. And you go on and tell him, well, it was one of them black diamond trails. And the doctor just says, "I couldn't care less what trail it was." Because the doctor doesn't need to know. He's got the x-ray right there. He doesn't need to know the facts of how you broke your leg. And I don't need to know how the facts how you got your heart broken. Because I got the Holy Spirit x-ray. What you need to know is God said he came to heal the brokenhearted. That's what you need to know. And maybe you tell one other person about how you did it. But don't be messing with me about all that stuff. I don't got no time for it. It's too ugly to hear. Come on, isn't it? Some of the stuff in this world is just plain too ugly. And why are you going to put another Christian before that? Put the Spirit of God upon it and remember what he said. I came the first thing to heal the brokenhearted. So we can then give our whole heart to him. Oh, that is so simple. But you got to have a healed heart to give your whole heart to him. When you got a healed heart, you have a container, something that can contain all the blessings of God. For example, when you love on someone who's got a broken heart or something's real broken in them, right? You love them 24 hours yesterday, and then you see them the next day, and it's like you never loved on them because all they want to do is suck out more, right? They can't contain the love that even you gave them. So how can they contain the love that God gave them? And they'll take every last breath that you have out of you. Right? All right. I want to make this point again. Our heart is meant to be a sealed vessel, a container, a treasure chest, something that can hold all the good stuff, man. And someone's going to say to me, "Well, Father, well, you know, the word says the Lord's close to the brokenhearted." Yes, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And the brokenhearted can go to heaven if they have faith. But they can't get anything done for God because they're so busy going around town with their broken hearts. Right? All right. We weren't designed to leak, my friends. We weren't designed to be brokenhearted. You know, we weren't designed just to suffer, right? We weren't designed to be like a car that's got no oil in it, so it seizes up. Broken people with broken hearts are always seizing up and running away. We're supposed to be full of God. We're supposed to be able to contain everything He wants to give us. He designed us that way, to have whole and healthy hearts, to contain the fullness of Him. Okay, I'm going to make this point with Solomon, the Song of Solomon, 8:6. If you don't like the Bible yet, read the Song of Solomon and you'll probably want to keep reading, okay? And the beloved, the bride, it's about a woman and a man in love, okay? The beloved, the bride is like the church, and then God is the bridegroom, okay? And so the bride says to God, or the church says to God, set me like a seal on your heart. Whoo, man, that means God has a heart. Jesus wept. God has a heart. And God the Father has a heart. And she says to God, set me like a seal on your heart. Meaning you have a seal is something that encloses something. You have a heart that's enclosed, and I'm like the seal on it. That means I'm on the outside of it. I'm on the inside of it. And she's saying, but I want you, God, to hold me in that sealed heart, that healthy heart that is for me, because I'm not leaving you, because I put my seal on you, like sealed with a kiss, right? Sealed, something stuck on you, right? I'm stuck on you, God. That's what she's saying. And your seal is your authentic stuff. When you seal something with wax, you'd put your name on it. So she's saying, look, Lord, you carry my name. I left my name on your heart. Don't you forget my name. Keep me there in that heart. Set me like a seal on your heart, God. In that vessel that contains you and all your blessings. That is where I want to live, Lord. In your heart, a place that's closed to evil. That's completely sealed off from evil. That's what the heart of God is like. Now, a broken heart can't be sealed. It can't be sealed off from evil. It can only be patched. Oh, this is so cool. We're in this old Catholic church. Well, 50 years and that old. And we've had enough patch jobs in this church to last us a lifetime. Devonda's father runs a inner city church in Albuquerque. He can only do so many patch jobs, right? And people come into church and they're like, Father Tobin, will you pat me on the head, even though my marriage is a Mexican bad word, and even though I don't have no love in my life, my job isn't very good, and my kids don't love me much, and everybody's lazy, and nothing's going good, will you just pat me on the head and give me a little patch job? You know, and then we go around wearing our heart on our sleeves and playing that victim Christian, that only victim. There was only one victim, is Jesus Christ on the cross. There's no more sacrifices in the Christian church. It's only Him on the cross. So don't be playing no victim, doormat type of Christian who got her heart patched or his heart patched. Jesus Christ saying, I came to heal the brokenhearted, not to patch the brokenhearted. Too many patch jobs. Look at all the cement out here. We got it. There's no more patching things that are broke. You got to fix it. You got to get it healed right. And that's what God wants to do. So many people set their sights so low and they just say, oh, little Father or Padrecito or Diosito, just put a little patch on my life. No, there's no patch that's going to hold the nastiness. It's going to seep out of you. You need to get God in you, something, and you need to be a vessel, a container of the Holy Ghost. You know, these days you look at the church, you read the newspapers, our church is full of crackpots. Why are we full of crackpots? You can laugh, it's okay. Our church is full of crackpots. Why? Because we haven't met the potter. We haven't met the potter who heals crackpots, because we don't preach healing. And that's the first thing that Jesus did. He came to bring the kingdom, and the kingdom starts with healed hearts. Amen. Ooh, man. Take Jesus up on His claim. Take Him up on it. He came to heal the brokenhearted, to make your heart capable of holding Him and all His life. Okay. All right. I want to make the same point again. It's a sealed vessel. 12:34 of Matthew. It's a passage about showing that whatever your heart is filled with is going to come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth, what? Speaks. 12:34, out of the abundant heart, out of the treasure of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you have a treasure, and a treasure, you put it in a treasure chest, it's a sealed thing, it's locked up. You got a treasure chest of good, or you got a treasure chest of evil. That's the way the Bible sees our heart, right? And if and Jesus says to the Pharisees, he says, offspring of vipers, how can you be an evil? How can you be an evil? Speak good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man out of the treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and the evil man out of the treasure, out of his treasure, puts forth evil things. You see, whether you got a good heart or an evil heart, it is sealed. It's one or the other. And people keep telling me, well, there's good and bad in everyone. No. Evil people who don't have the Holy Spirit in their temple, that ain't sealed in their treasure chest, who don't have that, once in a while they can say nice things, but sooner or later they're gonna bite you. Come on. Sooner or later, what out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Ooh. Sooner or later, the snake's gonna bite you. Amen. Oh, if I need to see that again, kick me, all right? Kick me. We need to get our hearts made whole into treasure chests for God. Secure places. Ooh, what's that? Guard, what is that? The peace of God, if it would guard my heart. That's Philippians somewhere. Guard my heart, Lord, with your peace. Ooh, man. He's the sentinel at the gates of our heart. He won't let nothing in that don't come from him. Praise the Lord, man. Before we can really represent God on a day in and day out basis, we have to have that secure, peaceful place, that heart that has been made right, made whole. All right. Just last week, the Spirit was working out this message in my heart, in my spirit, right? And I had a vision of my own heart right there in McDonald's. I had a vision of my own heart. And it wasn't seasoned up because of the manteca or the cholesterol in those burgers, okay? I had a vision of my own heart, and it was like this. You know, I'll say this, I've never experienced the bottom of my heart before. Never. I don't know about you, but I like experience the top of my heart, you know? I could be superficial, you know? The top of my heart is open to things I'm attracted to, like eye candy and stuff like that, right? What glitters, what's powerful, what's gold, right? That opens the top of your heart, but I never experienced the bottom of my heart. So I had this vision of the person I was with, this gal, was holding up my heart from the bottom, man. I was like, whoa, that feels good. I never experienced the bottom of my heart. And why can't we love people with our whole heart? Because we don't even know it's whole. We don't even know we have a bottom of our heart. Oh, yes. I didn't even know that. We're always going off the top of our hearts. We're never really getting down to what's really inside of us, what the stuff that God puts in us. And you know, there's people around there, they are there under your heart. They are loving you with God's love. The love of God covers a multitude of sins, man. Other people's love can also get into you and lift up your heart. That's beautiful. That's the way we're supposed to love each other, man. She was lifting up my heart and showing that it was whole. That it had a top and it had a bottom too. And I realized for the first time in my life that I was truly a holy vessel for God. A whole vessel for His Holy Spirit. I realized that I had a place for God. And a place for other people that was sealed off from evil. Whew, that was connected eternally to God. Connected to all manner of revelation, love, and revelation knowledge. Not my mind. Ooh, man, you got to get out of your mind. You got to lose your mind and come to your senses, because your heart is the center of your life. Your heart is your compass. Your heart is home plate. Your heart is what God wants, and He wants it healed totally. oh, this vision, this has been in my life, this has been working in my life for 20 years. I marvel when people have healthy hearts. I just marvel, oh, thank be to God that you're that way, man. A heart that isn't hard, a heart that isn't divided, a heart that isn't broken, a heart that isn't superficial or whatever. A real human heart that knows when to weep and knows when to dance.